Tell me about Live Drive.
Live Drive. Well, actually, they just got in a little bit of trouble. Not really Live Drive, but some of the people that were running in it, running Live Drive. Apparently, there was some empty beer cans or something found in the vicinity of the Live Drive office or in the Live Drive van. But you know, as I mentioned before, unfortunately, it took a death to bring Live Drive back. I think that a Live Drive and the existence of Live Drive is sort of a microcosm of Washington and Lee's, let me say it, our inability to recognize problems before they happen. Not as an institution, I mean, I think, at least not from a financial standpoint. I mean, I think Washington Lee does a really good job of their financial planning. Most students aren't aware of our budget breakdown, who gets paid what, but I think it's very interesting and important, you know, to see how Washington Lee's money is spent. And I think about that, you know, because as an alumni, I sort of want to know where my money's going. And I'll give freely as much as I can. But, you know, it took a student to die before we brought back Live Drive. It's taking numerous dropouts and unsuccessful terms, unsuccessful years on the part of black students before Washington Lee reacts with any comprehensive program. It takes a rape in the dorms before we add security locks, or annual or biannual programs for women and men about sexual relationships on campus. You know, it always seems like we're reacting from a social standpoint, we're reacting to the problems that exist. Recently, there have been a number of articles in the Trident and the Phi about the living, breathing honor code. And the honor code has been one of the few areas, I think, from what I know, where we seem to, the students seem to always be evaluating and thinking about the honor code. But even still, at Washington Lee, you can be kicked out for lying, stealing, or cheating, but you can be put on social probation for sexual misconduct. You may not even be put on social probation for keeping students of certain colors or backgrounds out of fraternity parties. And it just seems strange to me that our priorities are in that order. I can understand them because Washington Lee is an academic institution and the social structures sort of formulate themselves and they come second to the academics. And so we have to maintain the academics. But I really think that if we are in the business of producing honorable people, not just honorable men, and intelligent people, people who are going to contribute good things to society, then we need to sort of think about how should we be behaving, not just in the classroom, but once again, it seems as though we're reacting. You know, we're not being proactive. So Live Drive, we're reactive.
Can you talk about the student dying and what happened on campus at that time?
Well, I didn't really know the student. I certainly knew of him. Students were really saddened by the death. Not surprised. In fact, I can recall a number of conversations this year and probably last year, casual conversations, where people would, you know, we'd be talking about death or something, and it seems like one class, every class in high school and every class in college has one student who dies before their time from an unfortunate incident. And I heard it, and I myself had said before that it's surprising we haven't had more, if you consider the level of drinking and driving at Washington Lee. I think that the death really showed one of the strengths of Washington Lee, which I probably don't talk about enough, and that is the sense of family and support that the professors provide. The professors go beyond their academic responsibilities. And I heard that in a number of classes, including one of my own, the professors sort of, you know, we brought it out into the open, which I think is good. We talked about a little bit before going back to the academics. And students, I think we filled two buses, university, President Elrod, would have done anything to ease the pain of the student's death. And, you know, I'm not at a state institution, but I don't think you get that at many other places.
What do you mean, filled two buses?
Oh, with students going up to the funeral in Maryland.
In the snow?
Yeah.
They went anywhere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That was quite a
storm. A lot of people were worried about that, too. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, you can say that maybe perhaps they're foolish considering the liability of taking two busloads of kids. But on the flip side, you can say, you know, they're really committed to the student and the student who died, the family of that student, and the students who wanted to go. We found a way to make it possible. And there, you never heard of anyone, any faculty or administrator, worrying about the costs. Or, you know, I mean, that just, maybe that would happen everywhere, but I don't believe it to be the case. Washington Lee really cares about its students, and I really feel fortunate for that.
Let's talk about the faculty.
Hmm.
Is it, well, let's talk about the faculty as it is,
mm-hmm.
and I presume you have frustration that there aren't more minorities on the faculty.
Mm.
How does the faculty serve the minority students? Does it are you satisfied with the faculty as it is?
Mm. Well, I think the faculty at Washington Lee, in nearly every respect, have lived up to my expectation. If I look at the faculty is made up of a group of individuals in and of themselves, and here I'm trying to distinguish between my ideal faculty and what we have. The faculty that we have here they're fantastic. Do they meet the expectations or the needs of minority students? Yes, because the needs of minority students at Washington Lee are the same as those for the white students. They should be, and those are academic. I guess to the degree that they take into account problems that may arise as a result of a minority student being a minority student on this campus. I don't think they really take those situations into account, but I wouldn't want I don't want minority students to make excuses, you know, for the problems that they may have at Washington Lee. Just like you wouldn't expect a female student to, or a male student, to make excuses based on their particular religion or sex or whatever. I think, although one of the peculiar situations that has happened many times at WNOW is that when an issue, either a current issue or something that's being talked about based on a reading, when that issue presents something that is particular to the Black American experience, it's funny, but you often times see the professor or the students sort of turn your way as if you're supposed to give the response from the Black perspective, you know. The O.J. Simpson trial, for instance. I mean, that's a ridiculous example, but...
No, it's not.
Well, I only said that because I think the whole trial is ridiculous.
But I suspect not ridiculous here.
Yeah.
But the
O.J. trial or if you're talking about racism in society, or you're reading Du Bois, or you're reading, whatever, it seems like professors and students expect that you're going to give the Black perspective. That, I think, is one of the most frustrating things about the academic experience of Black students. Because there are so many misunderstandings in that presumption. There's the misunderstanding that all Blacks think alike, that you know how Blacks think, that you think the same way that other Blacks think, or that you even care, you know? And that's happened a dozen times at WNOW. I'm sure it happens everywhere. I don't think it's particular to us. But I've said on a number of occasions, you know, prefaced my response by sort of illuminating the problems in that presumption, and then going on to say, here's how I feel. If you want to take it for the Black perspective, take it. If you want to take it from my perspective, take it. Now, my ideal faculty, of course, would be more, more integrated, more imaginative, creative, still committed to teaching undergrads. But it seems like when I think about my favorite professors on this campus, my favorite professors that I've had, a number of them are gone. Because the institution wasn't committed to the way they taught or the way they looked at the world. All of them were proven academics. And so that's a real source of frustration. Women and minorities. And white men, too. You know, it's not just Black men. Obviously, Washington Lee needs to do a better job of hiring Black professors, qualified Black professors, qualified white professors, white women. We have plenty of white men. I think there's a problem there. Amazingly enough, the students at Washington Lee, while in public, they talk about their... Uh, their frustrations with the political scene and affirmative action and social programs that disproportionately help blacks and the poor. Deep down, though, I think there is a real sense of yearning to understand and to learn. And I think that can be found in the fact that when black, quote unquote, black courses are offered, there's a waiting list 15, 20 people long, nearly every time.
And who takes those classes?
Whites, blacks, everybody, women, men. They are the most integrated courses at Washington and Lee.
And yet, did you say they're not offered very often?
Yes. I'll give you some specifics. Professor Simpson's African-American art course is offered, I think, every other year, or every third year, maybe. You know, that had 23 students. All these courses, because of these courses tend to attract what I would consider the most dynamic professors. Those professors are not necessarily interested in standing up and lecturing. They usually want to conduct it in a type of seminar, which you usually can't have more than 15 students. But these courses have 15, you know, people on the waiting list. So, and because the professors want Washington Lee students to have the experience, the classes end up ballooning to maybe 23, 24. So, you know, that's happened. There's an African American lit course. It's taught in the English department. Professor Peck, who was the professor of that, of course, was let go by Washington Lee, not rehired. Professor Hall over in the politics department chose to leave for personal reasons, but also because of some of the realities on campus. But he taught three, you know, black courses within politics.
What do you mean, because of the realities on campus?
Well, you know, I shouldn't speak for him, but he and I were very close. I don't think he'd mind to a certain degree. But, his wife is a dean of the North Carolina school system, so he would commute every week. He did that for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So those are the personal reasons, you know, being away from family and this young daughter. But the fact that there are were no other, except for Professor Hobbs in the law school, there were no other consistent black professors with whom he could bounce ideas off of. And that's, I imagine, frustrating for an academic. So even though he was committed to Washington Lee, he proved that, and they offered him tenure, you know, they were going to give him raises, whatever he wanted. He could have asked for anything, and he would have gotten it. But it just goes to show that there's a lot more to be said than, you know, money. And so, anyways, I'd like to see a more diversified group of professors. And I think that the Washington Lee students are proving over and over again, whether subconscious or not, that they too are interested in a different perspective. If their response is, I hated that professor because he or she thought in such a way and I totally disagreed with it, well, that's learning. To learn what one dislikes, I mean, very few people can actually articulate what it is about something that they dislike. So that's an important part of learning. But if you have a group of professors who think just like the students, who came from the same background as the students, well, you're not going to have a very interesting dialogue.
Well said. How about alumni? You know, and I feel very odd. Because I agree with what you said a few minutes ago about how obnoxious it must be for you to be asked to represent the minority point of view.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, yes, and here I am doing it myself. But
yeah.
And you agreed to come and do
it.
So let me continue on with these obnoxious questions. How important as Black alumni, do they come back? Do they reach out? What role have they played for you?
Virtually no role at all. I have met two Black alumnus who were not here during any part of my 4 years. You know, there are some, obviously, alumni now that I know because they were here during my 4 years here, so I won't count them. But the other two were just casual one time.
You're in Cathicon, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you were.
No.
Okay.
No. I do phone calls for them, but I don't do Cathicon. And I think that's really unfortunate. Well, I don't think, I mean, it is unfortunate. I can understand. I imagine that their experience at WNL was tenfold more difficult than mine or present students. Although to a certain degree, they were here in larger numbers in the past, they have been, than we are now. But the expectations were very difficult, and they were trailblazers, and so we're riding their wave. But I guess students now have some different problems than they did. But irregardless of how they feel about Washington Lee as an institution and their experience, I would be appalled to find any of them who would not be concerned about the experience of present day MSA Black students, you know, on campus. I can't imagine any of them not being concerned or empathizing with our experience here, our frustrations. So to that extent, I think it's unfortunate that they don't call or come back or provide insight, provide job opportunities or links. And I say that having had white alumni who have been some of the kindest people I've met, who've opened doors or may yet open doors for me, and who are genuinely interested in my being successful because it promotes the good of the institution. So if the reason that Black alumni don't come back and offer their assistance, if their reasons are personal, I think that that's unfortunate. But I guess I'll be in their shoes next year. So we'll see. Maybe I'll be hypocritical. I don't know. Doubt it. Doubt it.
Do you plan to come back?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What will bring you back? What do you, sitting here today, yeah, what do you think will bring you back as an alumnus?
Well, it won't be the parties. Won't be the students. When I was applying for the job that I now have, there was a professor in the politics department, Professor Connolly, and he and I disagree on a lot of things. I think I'm probably considered a flaming socialist at this school, but and he's fairly conservative. But when I was applying for this job, he said, "Well, can I call and encourage the Higher Achievement Program to hire you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, of course." And I said, "Well, just out of curiosity, what are you going to tell him?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell him that you're an enduring optimist." And I think that that is what will bring me back to Washington Lee, in addition to my love for the institution itself. But I want to come back because I think Washington Lee can improve on its already, you know, great foundation and great traditions. And I wouldn't come back if I thought it was hopeless, you know. I think Washington Lee can be all that it is and more and better than the 14 or 15 institutions that are ranked above us. And numbers aren't important, but we have almost everything we need, all the capability, but we just need people to sort of push us in the right direction. So if they'll let me, you know, I'll do it. I'd love to.
Okay, two last items I'd like to talk about.
Mm.
You're a politics major.
Mm-hmm.
What has mock convention been for you?
Mm. Mock convention was very good experience. I mean, it was fantastic. I was state chair for Oregon, and you know, worked. Had it been a Democratic convention, you know, I'm sure I would have run for one of the higher positions, but I felt that I knew that I would have some real frustrations with the Republican convention. But I think as a tool to learn about the political process, I think that it's unparalleled. And I did in high school as well. And so I think it's growing. I mean, it's already one of the great traditions of Washington Lee, but this year, having broken records and been on national television live, which was unprecedented, I think it clearly benefits the institution in terms of its ability to recruit successful high school students. When Duke won the national championship, and this is shown over and over. I'm sure you're familiar with this. But when Division I schools win national titles, as Duke did back in 92, 91, Duke could have filled its entire freshman class with 4 O's because of having won the national championship. So they found out. Of course, they didn't. But the point is, when you have that national exposure, you know, you can draw great students. So, because we're not the Division I powerhouses, we have mock convention.
Did you know about mock convention before you came here?
Yeah.
Was that a draw?
Yes, definitely.
And were you involved through all 4 years? You're an interesting person in that you came just after a mock convention, and you're culminating with a mock convention.
Yeah, I am. My position in terms of when I graduate, you know, from high school and college and the national conventions, my being a senior in both cases is great because I've been able to hold leadership positions both in my high school convention and this convention, which is mostly reserved for seniors. Yeah, it was definitely a draw. When I was a prospective, they had a list of people who had come and spoke, Clinton, Dukakis, you know, and that was a big draw. Not many schools of this size can do that. So it showed me that Washington Lee was doing something special and political. And
I'm very intrigued as I sat there in the mock convention,
uh-huh,
and I'm of your persuasion,
uh-huh,
and watching these kids in hell.
Yeah.
Just totally gung-ho they were. And it was obvious that part of their thrill was that this was a Republican convention. And, you know, I'm this great observer at this point. And I thought to myself, and this is my first year here,
mm-hmm,
and I thought to myself, my God, this must have been an acting job for the last 3 or 4 conventions.
Apparently so. Yeah.
And so I'm interested, did that come out? Were people really talking about that as it was coming up, how thrilled they were that it was
a
Republican
convention?
Yeah, oh
yeah. And in fact, I'm not sure if you caught the comment at the alumni reception or event that we met at, when Dean Howison, when asked about mock convention, I think made the comment that finally, you know, Washington Lee students didn't have to act. And that certainly created another level of excitement that was there. You know, I sort of sat back and laughed a lot of it off. Politics for me is, it's a love, it's a joy, but it's also pretty serious. And so I do become very frustrated. In fact, I left the convention during Newt's speech and wrote a critique of Bill Bennett's, which everyone thought was a great speech, but it was logically flawed, you know. But, yeah, I mean, boy, it was amazing to think that Washington Lee, the size of the institution, and the fact that, you know, we're great students, but, you know, we're students and we don't have the resources that the national campaigns had. But when the convention, or when the race was very much in doubt, we came incredibly close to an accurate prediction, as we've later found out. So I, from a state chairman's point of view, having conducted most of the research myself for Oregon, I was thrilled that if we would have gotten a grade, it would have been an A+. You know.
Tell me about that. Tell me about doing the research.
Well, doing the research was that really, the state chair had persons on his committee that could help. It was up to the state chairman to decide to what degree his or her involvement, you know, would be in doing the research, planning the floats. Oregon was the first. We pumped out our T-shirts before any other state for the convention. We were proud of that. And in fact, we sold them to a lot of other delegations. Students really liked them. The research was really detailed. We were required to go back to the states, not physically, but, you know, talk to all of the persons in the controlling committee of the Republican Party in the state, all of the county heads of the party, members of the media, persons at academics at the universities, to get as many different perspectives, because, of course, when you are talking to a chairman of a county, for instance, in Oregon, depending on the region, that person may be more conservative or less conservative than the constituents which they represent. That's very important to know, because if you call them up and say, you know, how are the people feeling, you know, if you don't know their persuasion, then you may get a totally inaccurate portrayal. In fact, Oregon comes out to look very conservative, when in fact we're not, based upon population distribution and the fact that most of the chairmen and chairwomen are more conservative than their constituents, things like that. So you really have to know the game to predict. And every state chairman or chairwoman was required to know the rules of voting and things like that. And then when you, of course, put them all together, you get the whole. It's pretty complex, I think.
And how do you think you'll take this experience of law convention and use it in your political life?
That's interesting. Well, for one, it looks good on the resume. And especially for me, you know, as a politics major and going into politics. I think that, you know, I had done it in high school, but this was, of course, in a lot more detail. I think it improved my research skills And it taught me a lot about how politics on the state level work. I'm much more familiar with on a federal level, although I've worked on a number of campaigns. So I've had that experience now, and then I've also sort of from the political analyst perspective. So it's just really building skills to that are necessary for running campaigns, you know, which is what I want to do. And being able to put everything together and make sense out of what oftentimes appears to be fickle or uninformed voting behavior, which it's really not. There really are concrete reasons. A person's ability to figure that out is the strength of their understanding of the political process.
Okay. Well, I'd like to, we're almost done with the tape. I would like to come full circle and get back on that first class flight coming into Washington and Lee the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Was that normal to fly somebody in first class?
No. I would love to think that they did it to impress me. The reality is they probably, every other seat was sold out. I don't remember at the time. I don't remember. I don't know why. I don't remember how many black students came in with my class. It was pretty low. We're only graduating 5, I think. 6, maybe. I've forgotten. So they could have been desperate. You know, maybe my scores were attractive to them. Certainly the fact that I was black and from the Northwest.
How did they know you were black?
I'm sure I put it on the form. Also, as I said, Andy was a good friend of mine. He was an honor scholar here. And he worked, I think, you know, with the admission. I mean, I know he went over there and said, you got to get this guy. He's a friend of mine. I'm sure he told him a little bit about me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're pretty conscious of, I mean, if I were white, I don't think they would have been as proactive as they were, especially because I did apply late, as I said. Mm-hmm. I think the deadline was January 15th. I didn't send it in until effect. In fact, I think I faxed it something like on the 20th or something like that. I probably didn't do the best job on my application because I didn't really care. I mean, I didn't really care about Washington Lee. I was set to go to U of O. They were going to give me $2,000 in cash every year to go to U of O. I would have been loving life instead of paying for it here. But I think I made the right decision. Hope so.
So when you arrived as a freshman?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, my weekend, I never really did figure this out. When I came as a prospective, I came on a weekend where there were a number of other minority students here. But it wasn't minority student weekend, I don't think, because there are a number of white students here as well. I think it was probably a coincidence, although they do tend to keep the weekend separate. They do tend to keep the weekend separate perspectives. I think that does a disservice to the perspectives because on a weekend, you don't really get the feel for Washington Lee on the Hill that you do during the week, obviously. And they always put the black students with another black student, you know, as a host. So when you come here, you really, and you come in with all these other black perspectives, you really get a different feel for Washington Lee than the real experience. So when I came as a perspective, as I look back, I was pretty uninformed. Fortunately, it ended up working out. But I remember the first day walking on the hill, on the colonnade, and I thought, you know, I thought there were a lot more black students on this campus when I came here. And I was pretty surprised and uncomfortable. And I wouldn't say I was felt betrayed, but I do remember feeling like this wasn't the impression that they wanted to give me when I came. But who's to blame them? I mean, they gave every black student the real deal. But Washington Lee would be a pretty hard sell. Yeah. They've got to break the cycle somehow. Lying, though, is not... I wouldn't say they lied, but... they didn't tell the whole truth.
And the honor code a little bit?
Something like that. Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting pattern, and I'm not sure how it's going to be changed. But. Well, we're just about at the end of the tape. Would you like to summarize in any particular way?
I feel like, I think I mentioned before, that most of the time I talk about, and black students tend to talk about, the negatives of WNL. But although I have a deep commitment to WNL, I still am very much self-promoting. And, I wouldn't have stayed here if I didn't think that it would help me, in as much as I do enjoy helping other people in the school. But Washington Lee is a great school, and it has done a number of things for me that have helped me. When I came here, or in high school, I had 2 L's, 1 5's, been in jail, taken in custody, nearly in a farm home. I mean, Washington Lee has transformed me, I think, in many respects, for the good. And so I guess the point is that for all its bad things, Washington Lee is still, as what U.S. News and World Report says, the best buy. 4 years running, 5 years running, something like that.
Well, I'm glad you think so, since you've made such a huge investment in it.
Amen to that.
Thank you, John.
Oh, thank you.